This is NASCAR driver Tony Breininger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get 200 bucks in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGP and group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Today is Tuesday, May the 17th, and me and Moon, Aff and Dylan are here to handicap the MLB slate for Wednesday, May the 18th. My name is Malcolm Bamford, and I have already name-checked our guests, Old Money, Moon Aff Manji in Texas. Moon Aff, how are you doing?
Doing well. Today's gotten off to a good start. I took the Dylan Cease over strikeout prop. It was at 6.5, a little bit juiced. I bought it up to 7, but he's at 9 right now. So good start to the day compared to what we had yesterday.
Excellent. And also joining us, D-Rock, Dylan Rockford in space, and he's got his Tom Brady t-shirt on. That means he means business. I've worked Dylan out. He means business when he's got Tom Brady on his chest. How are you doing, Dil?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you, Malcolm, Munaf. Yeah, a lot of games to get into for tomorrow. I like to go by a saying, you're either hot or you're due, and I'm due. I've had a rough 7 days, but I think we all turn it around. The Mets are leading right now through 5 innings, so hopefully we get on the winning side to start the day.
Yeah, we recorded the 100th episode of the MLB Gambling Podcast yesterday, and as a fitting tribute, we stunk the place out between us three and Noah. We all gave a log, dog and a total. And yeah, pretty much got everything wrong. The Blue Jays hit. So we got two locks, 2 for 3 on the locks. But that was pretty much it. So yeah, I mean, I know you wouldn't want it any other way. That means, however, the only way is up, boys. So episode 102, this is going to be the one that they talk about in years to come when they're building statues to us. Yeah, full slate of games. So we will start with, let me see, the first game tomorrow is a 1:10 Eastern first pitch. And that is the Detroit Tigers at the Tampa Bay Rays. Eduardo Rodriguez goes for Detroit. And Drew Rasmussen goes for Tampa Bay. Detroit are plus 155. Tampa Bay minus 170. The over-under is set at 6.5. E-Rod going for the Tigers. E-Rod's 1-2. Has a 3.72 ERA. Has started 7 games, pitched 38 2/3 with 34 strikeouts. Rasmussen has a record of 3-1, 2.67 ERA. Also 7 games started, 33 2/3, 27 Ks. He's got a whip down at 0.92, which is impressive. E-Rod settled down a little bit, which I'm pleased about. He had a shaky start in new surroundings, which is fair enough. Only given up 1 earned run in his last 13 innings. Against Baltimore and Houston. Rasmussen only given up 1 earned run in his last 3 starts. The under was my initial thought, but it's down to 6.5. I mean, we talked, I think Noah talked a little bit over the last couple of days about the Detroit bullpen being okay. So you're thinking that E-Rod, both starters could go okay. They can turn over the Detroit pen. I thought the under 6.5 was too skinny. I wrote down Tampa Bay. I saw minus 130 earlier on. Now that's shifted to minus 170. So I'm a little bit, I'm scratching my head here to find a reasonable pick. The books seem to be on it. I can't take the over. I can't give out Tampa Bay at minus 170. So as it stands, I've got a little bit of a no bet. I wonder if either of you two boys can help me out. Moonaf, Detroit at Tampa Bay tomorrow. What do you think of this?
Yeah, not much for me here either, Malcolm. Agree with everything that you said. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez seemed to have found a little bit of form here with the Detroit Tigers. Tampa Bay with Drew Rasmussen. Again, you hit the nail on the head. I can't get behind a price of minus 170 range either for the Rays. And we talked about Tigers bat are struggling, but not much for me here either. If I had a forced lean, if you could find a seven, maybe take the under there. But at 6.5, it's no bet.
Yeah, fair enough. Dylan, anything for you there?
Yeah, I actually saw that opening line of minus 130 for the Rays, and I snagged that real quick. Now it's at to minus 170. I would never tell anyone to lay that kind of juice, but I actually do like the over. I set my total at 7.6. I know Rasmussen's on the bump, and he's been great, but Rodriguez, he's been known to give up some runs on the road. I'm hoping we get a bounce-back start from the Rays and their offense. So I do like the over 6.5 as well. I like Rays and over 6.5.
Yeah, I hate giving out an old bet, especially top of the show leading off. But yeah, that minus 130, yeah, that was a blink and you'll miss it. I'm pleased you saw that, Dylan, because I was beginning to think I might have imagined it when I've seen the line now up at minus 170. So yeah, we'll have to see. Maybe some strikeout props on Rasmussen or maybe a first five. But yeah, early impressions, nothing doing. Next up is a 1:10 Eastern first pitch between the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers. Max Fried goes for Atlanta, and Corbin Burnes gets the start for Milwaukee. The lines are Atlanta are plus 130. The Brewers are minus 145. It's another 6.5 total. Moonaf, Braves at the Brewers.
Yeah, another great pitching matchup here between these two guys, Max Fried and Corbin Burnes. I'll start with Max Fried here, Malcolm. He's so far 4-2 on the season. A 3.14 ERA, a whip of 0.98. And he's been pretty solid throughout the season. I know he had a rough start last time out against the Padres, but other than that, he's been really good for the Atlanta Braves. These two pitchers actually did match up back on May 7th. I think the Atlanta Braves got the victory there 3-2. And like you mentioned, also Corbin Burnes on the mound for the Brewers. And he's, again, been really good for them. He just hasn't gotten the run support. And if you kind of take a look at his numbers too, they've been outstanding for the Brewers so far on the season. He's only 1-2, but his ERA is at 1.77, whip of 0.79, 57 strikeouts. He's been absolutely fantastic. His first start was against the Chicago Cubs way back on April 7th, but he hasn't given up more than two earned runs in those last six starts in that span. Strikeouts are there for him as well. He doesn't walk a lot of batters. I would lean towards the under or the first five under in this game as well. I know it's at 6.5 right now, but I'm so comfortable laying the under here. And again, I think the Brewers have really struggled against left-handed pitching. I do also lean with the Braves if you want to look at that money line as well. For the Braves, I think you might get some value there. But Max Fried has been good on the road so far this season as well. I'm trying to pull up his splits here for his home and away splits. Give me 1 second here. Yeah, on the road so far this season, ERA of 1.38 and a whip of 0.46. And he's faced some pretty good offenses on the road. He had the Dodgers back on April 19th, 7 shutout innings, only allowed 2 hits. And against Dylan's Mets, he went 6 innings, 4 hits, and only gave up 2 earned runs. So I'd lean with the under, and I'd probably lean with the Braves here as well.
Dylan, any thoughts on this Fried against Burnes?
Yeah, I was able to get the Brewers on the opening line of minus 125 on the money line. I see at minus 140, that'd probably be my buying point. I just think the Brewers have the pitching advantage with Burnes on the mound. He went up against the Braves, like Munaf said a few weeks ago, 6 innings, 1 run, giving up 7 strikeouts. But I agree with the first five under. I like that play because I do think the Brewers and Max Fried both have similarities and they both faced each other last week. And the bats are struggling for both teams right now. So overall, I would take the Brewers full game, but I do like the first five under.
This is another kind of early bird special because I had a over under of 8 when I handicapped these games around about 5 hours ago. Yeah, I know. And that's got to 6.5 again. Because I wrote down two words, pitcher's duel. Also, Willy Adames is carrying a bit of a knock, I think, for the Brewers, and he's been one of their hot bats recently as well. That would just sort of help shade it towards it being lower scoring for me. Max Fried's been dead steady. Burns isn't giving up runs. So an under eight, I was delighted to take. An under six and a half, I don't know. So for the second game in a row, again, the first five unders, I agree, I co-sign on that one. So yeah, we're looking at pitchers, Jules, so try and find something that you like around there. But again, the under eight's gone, so I've lost the value in that one. Next up, we have the San Francisco Giants at the Colorado Rockies. That is a 3:10 Eastern first pitch. It's Logan Webb for the Giants, and it's Kyle Freeland going for Colorado. The Giants are -155 on the money line. Colorado +140. The over-under is at 10.5. Dylan, lead us off with the Giants at the Rockies. Is it the blind betting of Colorado at home?
No, I don't know about this. This one actually was a really tough one to handicap. I did make the Giants a -150 favorite. So right now it's a stay away and wait to see if the lines move in our favor. But as for the total, I set mine at a 10.4. So right at 10.5, I would lean over before I lean under, just because the Rockies are a good over team at home, 12-8, 7-3 in their last 10 toward the over, depending on what your closing line was. Also with Kyle Freeland, he's actually better on the road than at home, over a 6 ERA, 19 runs given up, 8 walks in just 25 innings. I think with the success the Giants have against this team, and they're 7-3 in their last 10, while the Rockies are just 2-8 in their last 10, two teams going in different directions, I think we see another high scoring game. Small lean to the over. I also like Giants first five -0.5 because I do think the Giants will jump on Freeland early.
Yeah, I agreed with you on this one. I wrote down the exact same thing, that Freeland's been horrible at home. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for Freeland because he's had a couple of good starts thrown in there, but they have been on the road. His real bad starts have been at home. Webb's been giving up runs as well. He looked capable of giving up runs. I thought the 10.5 was reasonable. We've seen some real high scoring stuff in Colorado recently. And I thought both pitchers could help us get us there. It's not one of the more frightening numbers. We've seen a couple of 12s in the last week or so in Coors Field. So 10.5 seemed reasonable. And I thought that was okay taking the over there at -105. Moonaf?
Yeah, I agree with everything guys said. Dylan hit the nail on the head about how Kyle Freeland has struggled at home versus at on the road so far. Even if you go back past couple of seasons, his numbers have been atrocious on the road. At home. I think that again, for if you want to bet this game, I agree with you guys about the over. I probably look at Giants team total to go over as well in this game. I also do lean with the Giants because Kyle Freeland just really struggles, like you guys said, at Coors Field. So Giants for me and Giants team total. And I don't hate the over 10.5 either.
If you want that -105, we are using the WinBet lines, the title sponsor here on the MLB Gambling Podcast. Make sure you use the $50 to win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet gets you up to $200 in free bets. The WinBet Casino also offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. And don't forget to get involved in the same game parlays with the Win Zone Build Your Own Bet feature. All users can receive a $20 free bet if they win, lose, or push the three or more leg Build Your Own Bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. If you listen to the NBA Gambling Podcast, Moonaf will tell you exactly where to put that money as well. There's loads to choose from. All you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The next game on the card is the Minnesota Twins at the Oakland Athletics. Sonny Gray goes for Minnesota, and Dalton Jeffries is the pitcher for Oakland. Minnesota are a -155 favourite. Oakland are the dogs at +140. The overall under is 7.5. Sonny Gray is 0-1 with a 3.68 ERA. Started just four games, had a delayed start, Sonny Gray. Only pitched 14 2/3. 20 strikeouts in that time. Jeffries is 1-6, a 4.84 ERA in seven games started. 36 2/3 pitched, 26 Ks. a whip of 158, which is up there. Sonny Gray, obviously a premium pitcher on his day, still not fully stretched out. He's managed four innings or thereabouts in his last two starts. He's getting lots of strikeouts, which is good. Jeffries has been giving up loads of hits, 23 hits in his last 16 innings pitched. Auckland are terrible at home. They've got a record of 5-13. So I was then looking for an angle in. Minnesota, I saw earlier at -145, a little bit too skinny, certainly too skinny now for me at -155. We spoke to the sports consig yesterday, Dave Sharapan, who told us that the Twins were good for the unders. I thought maybe going off script a little bit that Minnesota on the money line and under 7.5 might be a little better if you wanted to do something slightly more exotic. Just with the two things I fancy being relatively skinny. So some combination of Minnesota money line and the under, or if you're feeling maverick, why not play them both? What do you think, Munaf?
Yeah, I was just looking at Dalton Schultz.
Tight end, Dallas Cowboys.
Dalton Jeffries numbers here. And Malcolm, you're right that he's you know, I think we talked about this last week as well, where he's just given up a load to run. And he really hasn't made it past the fifth inning. I know he did that against the Angels at home last week, where he lost that game, even though 2-0. But he did face against his Minnesota Twins team back on May 8th, and Minnesota was able to get four earned runs against him in five innings. So I think one way to probably attack it, if you do like Minnesota, is maybe look at for Minnesota first five innings money line, or maybe a Minnesota first five innings team total over. That probably number is going to be at 2.5 with Jeffries on the mound. So I think that's the one way I would look at it. But I do like your pick about the Twins here.
Dylan?
Yeah, I don't like to go against Dave, and he's right. The unders in the Twins game have been cashing. It cashed last night. Every game these two teams have played this under went under this number and have cashed. So I'm hoping it changes tomorrow. I'll take a stab at the over 7. We also have 8-mile-an-hour winds blowing outward to center field. I was able to get the opening line at 7. I set my line at 7.4. At 7.5, I would lean under, but at the 7 I got, I would go over.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Okay, next. Sorry, I was mildly distracted there. I'm watching Nottingham Forest v Sheffield United in the playoffs. I was listening to you, though, Dylan, I promise. Next up is the Arizona Diamondbacks at the LA Dodgers. Zach Davis goes for the D-backs. Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers. We have lines of Arizona. Oh, big underdogs, +230. The Dodgers are -260. Over or under a set at 8. And this one, Munaf, is over to you.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I think this will be the last game of the series between these two teams, D-backs and the Dodgers. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers, and on the mound for the Diamondbacks, Zach Davies. I'll start with Zach Davies here. He's 2-1 on the season so far, 3.57 ERA, a whip of 1.19. He did face the Dodgers back on April 26th, where he did allow three earned runs over four innings and allowed four walks in that game. His numbers have been pretty good historically against the Dodgers over his career, but over his last three starts, he has given up three earned runs and two out of those three starts against the Dodgers. But other than that, I mean, a 3.57 ERA for Zach Davies is pretty respectable, especially how he's kind of been over his career. But on the other side, I understand why this price here is at -260 or north of -250 for Walker Buehler. He's having a great season again, 4-1 with a 2.81 ERA, a whip of 1.89. But the historical numbers that Walker Buehler has against the Diamondbacks, it's phenomenal. And I'll quickly mention them. So he's won four straight starts against the Diamondbacks, and he's only allowed two earned runs over 43 innings pitched in his last seven starts against the Diamondbacks. Wow. He did face them back on April 25th, where he threw a complete game three-hit shutout against his Arizona Diamondbacks team. I think we're probably going to see that again. Obviously, you don't want to lay that 250, north of 250 price. Probably want to look at Dodgers' run line in this case, which probably is still going to be juiced. But I would probably, if you're really feeling froggy and you want to get behind this Dodger team, I'm sure there's a lot of books out there that do offer the -2.5 on the Dodgers, you want to bring that price even further down. Because like I said, Buehler has been lights out. And I think that's still an understatement for what he's been able to do against the Diamondbacks. So look at the -1.5 on the run line. And then possibly if you want to, you know, put a quarter of a unit or half a unit down on that -2.5 for the Dodgers, I think they got the, I think they get the job done behind Walker Buehler against the Diamondbacks team.
Did you say 2 runs in 43 innings? Is that what
two earned runs in 43 innings over his last 7 starts?
I thought you said that. That's incredible. Yeah. The Diamondbacks have been relatively feisty in this series, and they've thrown it away. They've thrown it away tonight as we speak. Just before we came, we started recording.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
yeah, we were talking that the D-backs are 3-1 up and on the verge of possibly holding on for a win. I've just clicked on the latest scores, sort of 15 minutes later, and it's 6-3. Dodgers in the same inning, the 6th inning. So they've scored 5 runs there. And the Dodgers came from behind last night as well. So the D-backs might be slightly demoralised by this tomorrow. I wrote down Dodgers' run line. There was nothing else really. Only conclusions you could draw from this, unless Dylan's got something inspired for us.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I went far favoring the Dodgers at -230, but I'm seeing 290, 295, almost $3 with Buehler is insane. At +240, I'll take another shot with the Snakes. The D-backs have played the Dodgers really competitive, and they've led for most of the first game. We talked about it before coming on air. They fought back and only lost by one crucial blow to them, but all the games between these two teams, they've been low scoring close games because of the pitching we've been seeing from both teams. So maybe look at a first 5 under, since both pitchers have had success against one another this season. Buehler went a full game, 9 innings, 0 runs, just 3 hits, while Davies went 4 innings, 3 runs on just 4 hits. The D-backs, they were able to win that game as well that they both faced off in. So I think if the bats come alive a little for the Snakes, they can put some pressure on the Dodgers and our live dogs. So at +240, I'm going to take the Snakes again.
Nice. Love it. Big dog. Big dog. There might be another one coming up, boys. I don't want to spoil any surprises, but it might be the evening of the big underdog. Next game, Cincinnati at Cleveland, is a 6:10 Eastern first pitch. Tyler Marley goes for the Cincinnati Reds, and on the hill for the Cleveland Guardians is Cal Quantrill. The lines are the Reds are +120, Cleveland -130. Favorites over under is at 7.5, and Dylan Rockford is going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, I like the Guardians here on the money line. I set them much higher than a -120. That's what I got it at the opening line. I still like it at a -130. I think we're getting good value here with the better pitcher in Cal Quantra. He's only making his 3rd start at home. Both not terrible games. Over 10 innings pitched, 5 runs given up. But he's been able to give the Guardians some length, going 6 innings in his last 4 starts, whereas Tyler Malley, he's only been able to go 6 innings just one time this year, and that was his last start against the Poopy Pirates. So early in the season, Malley, he's faced the Guardians team, and he's only given up 4 runs in 4 innings. This is a good Guardian lineup. Top 10 in all the major categories besides total runs. They're 11, so right on that top 10 edge. We also see 12-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to center. So I think we see an over game as well. But I'm going to take the Guardians to take care of business at home at a -120. I think that's great value here.
If we ever do a gambling podcast for children, Dylan, you can very much host it with your Poopy Pirates in there.
Moon, you like
what
that.
Did you think of this game? Oh, I'm bringing Moon up. Moon up both laughed out loud at that. I think that shows you the level at which we're working, people. Let's be honest.
No,
we're not talking about the highbrow humor. Dylan said poop, making Moon up laughed.
It's just me and Dylan, or at least Dylan on the MLB pod. He's like, he's sharp, like he's focused. He'll give you the numbers. He'll give you what he thinks. He's not going to, you know, he doesn't have the nicknames like Noah does. And when he throws in the Poopy Pirates, it caught me off guard. And I started laughing. So, no, that's great. I agree with everything Dylan said. Like, I really can't figure out who Tyler Molly is as a pitcher. Like, if we go back to last season, Malcolm and Dylan, if we kind of look at his splits from last year, he was really good on the road. And he was atrocious at home. Now he's still atrocious at home, and he's even worse on the road so far this season. So, and Dylan said that he hasn't gone past 6 innings except for his last start against the Poopy Pirates. So I like the Guardians pick. I like the over. And I really like especially the Guardians team total first five innings, and then also for the full game. If that's probably at 2.5 or 4.5, you have to take the overs on those. And like, and it only helps that Dylan just mentioned that that wind is going to be blowing out at 12 miles an hour. So I love the handicap there.
I actually came down on the opposite side. I came down with Cincinnati, and for once, the early price has actually shifted in my favor. I wrote this down at plus 100. And I'm now seeing plus 120 about the Reds. Marley's improving for me. We did see a lot of money for him as a one game, maybe two starts ago. There was a lot of money shifted him, I think, on a pod that me and Noah did. He's walking fewer batters. He's striking out more batters. He seems to be on the improve. I'm getting a little bit bored of Cal Quantrill. I've kind of had my eye on him for a few years. Him and that little phalanx of Cleveland pitchers that you could put Savali and Plesac in there as well. Quantrill's been one of them. Sure. He got smashed last time against the Yankees. I think Marley just gets Cincy a win. They've been a lot more competitive of late, Cincinnati. And I don't want to take... I'm not interested in Cal Quantrill at plus 130. Seems I wasn't interested in Zach Plesac last night at like minus 160 or whatever it was. So I'll take a little punt on Cincinnati at a plus price, plus 120 for me. Next, I will tell you all about Sleeper, is what I'm going to tell you all about. I assume you've got your fantasy league on there. If you don't, I don't know why not. Easily the best fantasy football app. Move your league across there. It's fantastic. Absolute game changer. But now they've added a new facet to their product, which is a little over or under game. Dead easy to use. Pick some players that you like in your sport. Pick some props, the over or under, baseball hits, basketball points, etc. And then choose your stake. And you can win from 2 to 20 times the money that you stake on those players. There's a really good chat feature. You can get involved with all your cronies, chat a lot of shit in there, ride your picks out together. You can copy your friends' picks with the tap of a button if you like them. So download the Sleeper app and play the new over or under game. If you join the listener group on Sleeper, sleeper.com/SGP, Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. So join our squad, get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. You can also use the code sleeper.com/SGPMLB, which is specific to this show. And Sleeper will, like I say, match your first deposit up to $100. So sleeper.com/SGPMLB. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. The next game is a 6:10 Eastern first pitch, which is the Houston Astros at the Boston Red Sox. Luis Garcia, right-handed pitcher, goes for Houston. And Nick Pivetta goes for Boston. Houston are the favourites at minus 130. Boston plus 120. The over-under is set at 9 for this one. Garcia, 3-1, 2.94 ERA, 6 games started, 33 2/3 with 37 Ks and a 0.95 whip. Pivetta is 1-4, a 5.08 ERA, 7 games started, 38 2/3 with 33 strikeouts. Garcia started well and he's improving. He's another one who's on the improve for me. 3 earned runs in his last 18 innings pitched. He struck out 9 batters twice in those last 3 games. I favoured Pivetta last time and at Texas, and he pitched really well. He was good. He'd been very shaky before that, though. I don't trust him to go back-to-back, particularly to get this win. However, I had Houston earlier on at minus 155. They were too short of minus 155. I'll take Houston here at minus 130. But I had wrote down my official play was the under 9.5. I think Garcia can pitch really, really well. Boston still aren't out the woods, even though they got a win last night. But I think Pivetta could not blow up either. So I thought the under 9 looks pretty big. So Houston on the money line, but also I would lean towards the under as well, would be my two selections. Moonaf, it's a half and half scarf game for you. Houston Astros, Boston Red Sox. Pick your side.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the Red Sox pitcher here, Nick Pivetta. You know, he got off to a very, very shaky start at the start of the season, where he had allowed at least 4 earned runs in his first 3 starts. And at the time, they're still against some pretty good offenses, right? The Yankees in his first start in Yankee Stadium. He had the Twins and then back-to-back start against the Blue Jays. But it seems like he's found some form here over his past 3 starts at least. He's only allowed 1 earned run over his last 2 starts in 13 innings combined. The thing that kind of gives me pause about backing him now is that at least during this season so far, he struggled at home. I know he did have that 1 good start against the White Sox, but I think that was at a time where they had a lot of injuries and they finally got their guys back, have the White Sox. And, you know, Luis Garcia, he's been solid too. He just had 1 bad start against the Toronto Blue Jays at home, but on the road so far this season, he's been absolutely fantastic. He had 4 innings back in his first start against the Diamondbacks. He only gave up 2 earned runs against the Blue Jays in Toronto. And his last start, 5 shutout innings against the Minnesota Twins in Minnesota. So, you know, with the ERA of 1.20 on the road so far this season, I have to lean with the Astros here. And again, I agree with you. I probably do lead towards the under in this game as well.
Dylan, Houston, Boston, any strong feelings?
Yeah, same thing, echoing everything you guys just said. I took the under 9.5. I did it last time. It was my lock, but it was just me and Munaf on a pod, and he advised me to take the first 5 under, and that cashed as well, 4.5. I'll probably do the same thing here, take the bullpens out. Like you guys said, the way these 2 teams just not been scoring that many runs. Pivetta, he actually did, like you guys said, he had a good start his last time at home against the White Sox. Garcia, he's been great at on the road at 1.20 ERA, 15 innings. So I would do first 5 under 4.5 and first 5, and then the full game under 9.5 as well.
Okay. Not one to overreact, but as we've been handicapping that game, Alec Thomas has just hit a home run for Arizona. So I've immediately picked him up in the D-Gens Fantasy League. That's the way to do it. I'm playing Noah this week. I'm 6-2. I know it's early in the week, but I've got a 6-2 lead. So Alec Thomas hitting a home run. I've just dived in and picked him up. He'll help me get over. I was looking to pick him up, and I kept forgetting. So it's worked out quite handy for me that he's hit that home run while I'm sitting here staring at all this baseball stuff. So Alec Thomas is now on my side. The next game is the Washington Nationals at the Miami Marlins, which is a 6:40 Eastern first pitch. And this is Jojo Gray for Washington and Pablo Lopez for Miami. Washington are plus 155 on the money line. Miami 170. Over or under is 7.5. Munaf, lead us off.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Josiah Gray on the mound for the Washington Nationals. 4-3 so far this season, 4.34 ERA, a 1.31 whip. His last start against the Astros, he did give up 5 earned runs in the first inning, but he did settle in after that for the Nationals. I think he only gave up 1 more after that. He's been good on the road for the Nationals this season. Surprisingly, he's 3-0 with a 1.65 ERA and a whip below 1 at 0.98. He did face his Marlins team earlier this season at home, where he did give up 4 earned runs in 5 2/3 of an innings pitch. So it seems like if you want to back Josiah Gray, it might be on the road here. But on the opposite side, it's Pablo Lopez, and he's 4-1 so far, 1.05 ERA, a whip of 0.81. He's having a Cy Young caliber season. I mean, you know, there's no better way to put it. At home this season, he is 2-1 with a 1.50 ERA, a whip of 0.83. He did face the Nationals back on April 27th in D.C., where he threw 6 shutout innings and he only allowed 3 hits. But Lopez has won 4 of his last 5 starts against the Nationals, where he's pitched 29 1/3 innings and only allowed 4 earned runs in that span. It's almost kind of like a junior mini-me version of Walker Buehler, like I talked about. So, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards the under in this game. I do also like the Marlins behind Pablo Lopez. Again, like I said, he's been absolutely fantastic. So I do like the under and the Marlins in this game.
Dylan, where did you get to on this one?
Yeah, I was able to get the Marlins opening number at minus 140 on the money line. I also am going to take a shot and take them on the run line at plus 150. Munaf said it the best. Pablo Lopez is having an amazing year, and he should be in consideration for Cy Young, deservedly so. He's been remarkable, especially at home. This national team can hit, but I also like his strikeout prop. In his last 3 games at home, he's had 11, 7, and 9. So I think we see a similar number out of him, especially with the success he's had against this national team. So I'm going to be all over the Marlins, and I'll also take Pablo Lopez's strikeout prop, whatever comes out at.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's nothing you need to add about Pablo Lopez. I think the key to this game was Jojo Gray and what we were going to see out of him. He's got a 1.65 road ERA in three game starts, which said to me he's going to give you a chance. I do think that Miami will probably win, but I think Gray will give you the chance to cash in this under. And I think he can pitch well. I'm expecting Lopez to pitch well, but I think Gray can do similar. So under 7.5 for me at -120 was my selection. The next game is the San Diego Padres at the Philadelphia Phillies. Blake Snell on debut this season for the Padres, the lefty. Zach Wheeler goes for the Phillies. San Diego are +125, Philly -145. The over-under is set at 8. Dylan, take us through. How did you handicap Blake Snell here, man?
Yeah, give me the Phillies -1.5 at +140. I like to fade pitchers getting their first start in like the first month of the second month of the season. So, and for as bad as Wheeler's numbers have been, most of those starts have come on the road. At home, he has a 1.93 ERA, only 5 runs given up in 23 innings. Batters are only hitting a 1.95 off of him. They've been hitting the ball really well. I feel like the lineup has really woken up. They're averaging about 7.5 runs in their last 5 games. And at +140, I think this is a bad spot for Blake Snell getting on the road against this Philly lineup. I think they really get to him. So I'm going to take Philly -1.5.
Yeah, Snell's a tricky one. Even when you know what to expect, if you've seen him recently, he's always hard to handicap. He's a nibbler. I've written down, he just gets on my wick a little bit. I'm probably talking through my pocket, actually, for the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, it'll be a watch and brief for me. Wheeler had 2 good starts before the Dodgers got to him last time, but the Dodgers didn't get to anyone, so you can kind of let him off with that. Yeah, this was really tricky. I've got a great big question mark next to my handicap, which isn't much help to anyone. Moonaf, have you got any pearls of wisdom on this one?
No, I don't have anything for this game either, Malcolm. I know this is his first start for the season for Blake Snell. So it's probably going to be, I think, you know, wait and see, collect some data on Blake Snell, see how he looks, and then go from there. And if I had anything, I would probably just go with the Phillies. I just don't trust, or we don't even know how long Blake Snell's going to be out there for. So if anything, I think this is I think Dylan said it right. This might just be a bad spot going up against this Phillies lineup, which, you know, is hitting pretty well right now. So I would lean towards the Phillies, but not an official play.
No problem. Let me tell you about Athletic Greens and the AG1 supplement. With one delicious scoop of AG1. You absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. A special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy recovery, focus, aging, things like that. Costs less than $3 a day. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. That is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Next is a 7:05 Eastern first pitch, which is the New York Yankees at the Baltimore Orioles. Gerrit Cole is on the bump for New York, and Jordan Lyles goes for Baltimore. The New York Yankees are a -225 favorite. Baltimore are 2-1. Over or under is set at 8. Gerrit Cole, 3-0, 2.95 ERA, started 7 games, 36 2/3 pitched with 46 Ks, a whip of 1.12. Jordan Lyles is 2-3. With a 4.38 ERA, 7 games, 39 in his pitch, 32 Ks. Cole's been okay. He hasn't been stellar. Still, I think the Yankees probably expect a little bit better from him. He's given up 6 hits, 5 hits, and 5 hits in his last 3. Jordan Lyles hasn't been terrible. He is capable of throwing in a good start here and there. He needs to keep his walks down. I think that's key. He's three games started at home, Jordan Lyles. He's got a 1.93 ERA. Baltimore are 9-8 at home. I think you can see where I'm going with this, boys. I'll put up here Baltimore as the dogs at plus 200. Also on the run line at plus 110. Plus price on the run line. I think they can keep this close. They're going to win some games against New York Yankees, so why not this one? Give me the big dog, Baltimore. Moonaf, have I lost my marbles, or can you see me pulling this off?
I will say this, that Gerrit Cole has looked good, you know, recently, at least over his last couple starts here. I'm trying to quickly pull up his log here and see how it's been. I mean, it's if there is going to be a spot where you want to pick against the Yankees, it might be here, because sometimes there's we sometimes don't know what Gerrit Cole you're going to get, right? Like his last outing, he did give up three earned runs to the Chicago White Sox, but really it's been the offense that's been carrying the New York Yankees. Now, if you get a perfect storm of Gerrit Cole not having a great outing and then the bats going cold, yeah, I can see that possibility. But at a north of -$2 favorite on the road, that's something I can't get behind. And I understand your reasoning behind it. That +1.5 is a good bet as well. So, gun to my head, I'd probably take that +1.5 on the Orioles. But right now, this Yankees team is just on another level right now for me. So, Forrest Lane +1.5 for the Orioles.
Okay, I nearly talked you into it, Moonaf. Dylan, have I talked you around?
No, I'm sorry. At -130, this is just at my number to take the Yankees on the run line. I mean, Gerrit Cole, he's their ace and he's on the mound. I think we see another solid performance from Cole. Yeah, he's given up those runs in those last couple of starts, but he's been able to go six innings plus in four straight games. His strikeouts are high as well. So maybe look at another strikeout prop from Cole to go over. I just don't want to get ahead of this Yankee train right now. They're on fire, and the last four times these two teams have played, the Yankees have covered the run line convincingly. So I think they do it again. I just don't think this is a good spot for them. So I'm going to back the Yankees.
I do like the call that Dylan just made on the strikeouts for Gerrit Cole, because if you kind of look at his game log or his history against the Baltimore Orioles, he has actually won four of his last five starts, dating all the way back to 2020 when he did join the New York Yankees. And he's had strikeouts of 7, 10, 9, 13, and 7 against the Baltimore Orioles. And that span, at least over his last four starts, he's only allowed two earned runs in about, let's see, 25 innings. So I think Dylan convinced me here. Sorry, Malcolm. I'll have to go to the Yankees as well, -1.5.
Okay, your funeral, we'll talk about this, and you will carry me shoulder high around the streets of Newcastle when I get this one right. Next is a 7:07 Eastern first pitch between the Seattle Mariners and the Toronto Blue Jays. Marco Gonzalez, the lefty, gets the start for Seattle, and Kevin Gausman, the Toronto ace, is on the bump for the Blue Jays. The odds are Seattle are +180. Toronto are -200. I think that's a third -200 dog choke that we've seen tonight. Over or under is set at 8. And Moonaf, you've got this one under control. Seattle at Toronto.
Yeah, like you mentioned, Marco Gonzalez on the mound for the Mariners. 1-4 so far this season. 3.38 ERA. The whip is a little bit high compared to the ERA at 1.53 for the whip. He did have a solid outing in his last start against Dylan's Mets there. He has gotten into trouble on the road, though, this season, where he does have an ERA of 4.20. And the ERA is up a little bit on the road as well at 1.87 for Marco Gonzalez. He has allowed at least two walks in his last three starts, and he hasn't faced a Blue Jay since 2019. So, you know, this is a completely different lineup from, obviously, 2019 for the Blue Jays. And then on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman, like you mentioned, 3-2 with a 2.40 ERA. Whip that's right below one at 0.98. He has been solid so far for this season for the Blue Jays. I think a great replacement for the former Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray. He's gone at least 6 innings in his last 5 starts and at least 7 innings in 3 of those starts. He did face the Mariners last season in his first start when he was with the Giants, and he only gave up 1 earned run in 6 2/3 innings pitched. The Mariners offense is struggling a little bit over the last 7 days. They've only scored about 18 runs in that span. I'm leaning towards a Blue Jays run line here. I can't get behind a $2 favorite, but if anything, I would go with the Blue Jays run line here, Malcolm.
Okay. Dylan, what do you think?
Yeah, you probably hear this before. Another shot here with the Mariners. I like the value we're getting here on both the money line and the run line. I made the Blue Jays a heavy favorite, -170. Kevin Gausman, he's really good, but to be over $2, 220 favorite, it's kind of insane to me. And for how good this Blue Jay lineup is, they aren't hitting that much better than the Mariners. So The Blue Jays also don't hit lefties that great either. So at plus 200 and at -110 on the run and a half, I'll be on both here. Blue Jays, Mariners, excuse me, on both.
Yeah, fair enough. I thought this was relatively tricky. Gonzalez has been decent, but keeps taking the L. Walks have been a little bit of an issue. And he's 0-3 on the road with a 4.2 ERA. Gosman's been fine. Seattle, everything just points to the Blue Jays. Seattle is 7-13 on the road. Toronto 11-6 at home. I thought maybe, like you said, Dylan, that they haven't been hitting the lefties too well. So maybe an under. I did see an under 8.5, although that line might have shifted to 8. So 8.5 might be a good show, but yeah, I'll just leave this in your two hands because there was nothing particularly that inspired me here. IP Vanish are a sponsor here on the MLB Gambling Podcast. Browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy. Without the added security of IP Vanish, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why at SGPN, we use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. So communications, passwords, private details, etc., even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. Use it on unlimited devices. Put it on your Fire Stick when you're watching the telly. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off the yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. The equivalent of getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is easy to use. One tap of a button, you won't even know it's on. Rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promo code SGP to claim your 70% savings. ipvanish.com/SGP. 3 more games to handicap, ladies and gentlemen. 7:40 Eastern. Oh, hang on. Have I missed? I've done it again. Do you know what I always do? I miss the New York Mets out, don't I, boys? Because they're in the top corner, as I explain every second episode. The next game is the 7:10 Eastern game between the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Mets. Jordan Hicks goes for the Cards and Max Scherzer goes for the Mets. The Mets are a -200 underdog, another a fourth of the day. St. Louis +180 over under set at 7. Dylan, the New York Mets are your team, so you can tell us if they're going to win or lose this one.
Yeah, I just needed any sort of plus price on the run line to take Scherzer, and I was able to get a +105. So I'm going to be on the Mets run line here. The last time Scherzer went up against this Cardinals lineup, I think about a week or 2 weeks ago, 7 innings, just 2 hits, no runs, 10 strikeouts, and that was on the road. Now he's back home where I think he's a little more comfortable behind the fan base. And 5 out of the 7 games he pitched, the Mets have won by more than 2 runs. So I love this plus price. I think we'll see a strikeout prop again. I do like the over 7.5. I think that's where you're going to see it land at. That's usually where Scherzer's strikeout prop is. I would lean over depending on the juice, but I'm going to take Scherzer strikeouts, and I'm also going to take Mets on the run line.
Okay, Moonaf, what did you make of this?
Yeah, not much there. Dylan hit everything on the net there. Max Scherzer on the mound. I mean, the strikeout props are always going to be there, so I think that's one thing I do want to target for him. And again, Jordan Hicks is probably going to be in a spot, bullpen start here for him. I know he's been going a little more innings, and they're trying to transition him into the starting rotation there. But I just think that this is going to be a spot where, you know, the Mets just come out and play well, and Scherzer pitches well as well. So I'm going to get behind the Mets as well with Dylan.
Yeah, I think Hicks managed maybe to go five or get into the fifth, certainly last time. Mm-hmm. Hicks has been consistent. He's had pretty similar lines, actually, in all of his starts. He's normally good for two or three earned runs. Scherzer had a couple of dodgy starts before getting back on track last time. I thought this was a good over, especially at a low number seven. The Mets have been hitting okay. The Cards do have that feisty lineup. I thought both pitchers could maybe contribute a little play on the over seven at minus 110 was the pick for me. Now we can get to the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Chicago Cubs, which is a 7:40 Eastern first pitch. This game, it's the live YouTube game, actually, if you want a little bit of live baseball tomorrow night. Mitch Keller goes for Pittsburgh and Drew Smyly. We had a lot of Smyly and Miley action last night. Well, Smiley's back again, the left-handed pitcher for the Cubs. Obviously being pushed back a day because we handicapped him last night for the Chicago Cubs. The Pirates are plus 140. The Cubs are minus 155. I do not have any over or unders for this one. They've been removed or might not have yet... being published, probably something to do with that little pitch and change for the Cubs. Keller is 0-5, 6-6. Sorry, go on, Munaf.
I was just saying it might be the win factor as well that they probably want to wait to see what direction.
I forget about it. We have this conversation every week. That's something else I forget about. They often don't go up there. This wild Wrigley Field win that happens. Keller is 0-5, 6.61 ERA, 32 2/3, 26 strikeouts. Smyly is 1-4, 3.64 ERA, at 6 games started, 29 2/3 and 21 strikeouts. Keller's been smashed up his ass twice, both against Cincinnati. I wrote down no thanks next to Keller. that's my opinion of what I wanted to do with him. Smyly is giving up lots of hits. He was poor last time at Arizona. This was just a horrible game to handicap. You didn't want to take either side or either pitcher. So I was looking for an angle. The Cubs have won 3 in a row, but you don't want to take the Cubs at minus 155 either. So I just wrote down no bet. At some point, I've got to draw the line, and this was minging. So no bet for me, Moonaf. Have you got anything else to add?
No, I mean, yeah, at minus 155 behind the Cubs, I mean, I can't get behind that either. And then Pirates, I mean, we talked about it, the poopy Pirates, like Dylan said. I don't want to give anything here. I don't have anything for this game. I'll pass this as well.
Okay, Dylan, what have you got?
Yeah, small lean on the Cubs. I got the opening line at minus 145. It's still a little high for my liking. It's not terrible, but I do think they have the pitching advantage with Smyly on the mound. Mitch Keller, he's a disaster, especially on the road. I can't back him. I do see the winds are blowing horizontal right now. I'm looking at Wrigley Field, and it's like around 9 miles blowing towards like the right. So don't want to touch the total. It's sitting at 7.5, I see. But I see the run line for the Cubs at plus 140. That looks very entertaining. So I'll probably take a stab there.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. If you want to take anything, a plus 140 run line on a pretty uninspiring looking matchup. The next game's better. The LA Angels and the Texas Rangers are at 8:05 Eastern first pitch. Shohei Ohtani goes for the Angels, and Dane Dunning is on the hill for the Texas Rangers. The Angels are a minus 145 favorite. Texas plus 130, over under at 7.5. Moonaf, take us away.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani, like you mentioned, on the mound for the Angels, pitching really well again so far this season. 3-2. 2.78 ERA, a 0.96 whip for Ohtani. He did face the Texas Rangers this season, which was his only bad start so far this year. He only went 3 2/3 of an inning, gave up 6 earned runs off of 6 hits, did allow 2 walks in that game as well. So, you know, maybe some revenge here for Shohei Ohtani against his team back in Texas again. But other than that, I mean, he's been pitching very well. On the other side, like we mentioned, Dan Dunning, he's been okay. He did have one bad starting in his last start. So far in the season, he's 1-2 with a 4.06 ERA, a 1.25 WHIP. The strikeouts are there for him over his last four starts. He's had at least 5 strikeouts in each of those starts, and he's faced some pretty good offenses this season. I mean, if you kind of look at it, he's faced the Red Sox in his last start. He faced the Yankees, the Braves, the Astros, the Mariners, the Angels, and the Toronto Blue Jays. And at their best, those are some of the best offenses in the American League. So it seems like he's really turned around from what he was last season, especially at home so far this year, where he's 3.97 ERA with a 1.15 WHIP. I feel like this might be a spot where the public is going to get behind the Angels here, where they see, okay, Ohtani's on the mound. It may be a case where I just kind of want to be contrarian here and just take the Rangers +1.5 at -135. I can get behind that. But I don't want to get behind the Ohtani price at -145, especially when he had a bad start against his Texas Rangers team back in, I think it was May or April, where he did give up those 6 earned runs, Malcolm. So I lean with the Rangers +1.5.
Okay. Bit of a dog there for Munaf. This was really tricky. I thought that the lines were just about spot on when I handicapped this, but I saw that the over and under then was at 8. So the 7.5, I think I would get on board slightly with it over here. So Ohtani's been slightly worse on the road. Mm-hmm. He's still good, don't get me wrong. But 3.24 on the road. And Dunning was bad last time out against Boston. I thought the Angels were just a bit too short at -145, like Moon just said. I thought the over-under was just right at 8, but it's 7.5. I can take that. So I've written down no bet. I'm going to pivot and I'll take over 7.5. Dylan, what do you think?
Yeah, another spot where the money line is just a little too juicy for my liking. But at -145, I'll back Ohtani, the Angels. They failed me in the opening game. Syndergaard got hammered. I think the first game was an outlier. The Angels are just a better team right now. They hit better. They're more of a complete team, in my opinion. The Rangers, they're 28th in the league against righties. I think they're going to have a hard time hitting Ohtani. So I like Ohtani and the Angels to bounce back here. So I'll take them on the money line. Small lean for me.
Okay. Last game of the day. A game that between two teams who have played today. The White Sox have beaten the Royals 3-0. That game's completed while we've been chatting here. It's at 8:10. Eastern first pitch tomorrow. It's Lucas Giolito for the Chicago White Sox and Zach Greinke for the Kansas City Royals. That's actually a pitching change from what I handicapped earlier on. I don't know what you boys have got. I had Vince Velasquez about 5 hours ago. So that's going to cock my handicap right up. The White Sox are -165. The Royals are +150. Overall under at 7.5. Dylan, what have you got for the White Sox at the Royals? Did you have Velasquez, or have you updated to Giolito?
Yeah, so in the beginning in the morning, I saw Vince Velasquez in like about an hour, maybe 2 hours ago. They changed him to Giolito, but I like Giolito and the White Sox here. I don't want to back them at -160, but I'll take them in the first 5. I also like the first 5 under because Greinke, he's done a good job against his White Sox team already. Giolito, he's been stellar on the road. I do think we see a lower scoring game, but I favor the White Sox a little more with their bats. They picked it up a little. It was tough to find some value in this one, but I do like their White Sox first 5 -0.5.
Munaf, White Sox at Kansas City.
Yeah, echoing what Dylan just said there, that Zach Greinke, definitely a better pitcher at home compared to what he's been doing on the road. I mean, his last 4 starts have all been on the road. He was in Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore, and then his last start again in Coors Field, where he did get roughed up a little bit, where he did allow 5 earned runs in 4 2/3 innings. But So far this season at home for the Kansas City Royals, he has a 2.25 ERA with a whip of 1.19. Shockingly, the whip is up higher on at home than it is away, but his ERA on the road so far is 4.43. I agree about the under here. I'm more comfortable with taking an under with Greinke at home with the Royals. And Lucas Giolito, like you mentioned, he's been pretty good so far this season. Prone to giving up the long ball a little bit. Over his last three starts, he's allowed at least two home runs and two out of those three starts. So I think that if he's able to keep the ball in the ballpark and you know, get some flyouts instead of those balls leaving the park, I think this is a game where he can go under. I'll lean with the White Sox here as well. And I do love the under in this game too.
Yeah, I'm going to call an audible and co-sign all these unders. I've actually, because I'd handicapped Velasquez, so I can put a line through that. But my handicap with Greinke, I was actually going to take Greinke in Kansas City on the money line against Velasquez. I'm not going to do that against Giolito. I was happy to put a line through the last Greinke start at Colorado. He's had three consecutive road games. So we'll be happy to get back home, Greinke, where he's got a 2.25 ERA. So I was actually favouring Greinke at home. Slight change now, obviously, with the pitching change. But that means I can pivot to this little first five under. Between that you two boys have already given out. So, yeah, I'll co-sign all of that. That fits in quite nicely with the handicap that I'd already done. So, gentlemen, we have reached the end. We've handicapped 15 games there, and it is lock and dog time. We let the youth team go first. Moving off, Dylan, give us your lock and dog.
All right, for my lock, I'm actually going to go with a total. We spoke; it's half of Munaf's favorite teams, Red Sox and Astros. I'm going to go under 9.5 here. I mean, both of these teams are just having a tough time scoring runs. Both teams have gone under this number 4 of their last 5. Luis Garcia on the road has been stellar, like we said. And Nick Pivetta, hopefully he's turned it around. He had a good start against the White Sox last time at home. Hopefully we get another one. I'm going to take under 9.5 runs as my lock. And for my dog, I'm going to take the Marlins on the run line at +150 to beat the Nationals. I just think they have the pitching advantage with Pablo Lopez on the mound. He deserves to be in the Cy Young conversation. He's been remarkable. And I just think they have the better, they might not have the better bats than the Nationals, but I think Pablo Lopez could do a good job of limiting the Nationals. And hopefully we get a couple runs from like guys like Jazz Chisholm and stuff like that. So I'm going to take the Marlins to win by two or more runs at +150 on the run line.
Okay. A total and a run line for Dylan. I like that. Mixing it up a little bit. Munaf, what have you got?
Yeah, I'm also going to go with the total here as my lock. And it's going to be in that game that we talked about with the Reds and the Guardians. And I like the Guardians team total to get over 4 here. It's even at plus money over on WinBet. And we talked about the struggles of Tyler Mahle, especially on the road so far this season, where he has an ERA of 6.50, whip of 1.5. And I think this might be another game where he struggles. I mean, in his last two starts against the Pirates, he did allow 2 earned runs in those 2 starts. But prior to that, against the Brewers, he gave up 4. He gave up 3 to the Padres, 2 to the Cardinals. And this was all within 5 innings. So I think that they can also get to that bullpen a little bit. That's one of the worst, again, in the entire MLB. So at 4 at plus money, I'll take the Guardians team total over there. For my dog, I was going to go with the Marlins. Like, Dylan said, I love that, especially at +150. I'll give you another one. I'm going to go with the, Braves money line at +120 against Corbin Burns in the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, Freed has been really good on the road so far this season for the Atlanta Braves. He's been good against against the Milwaukee Brewers as well this season. They did match up, like I mentioned, when we were handicapping the games, where he had an absolutely outstanding outing against them. So I'm gonna take the Braves +120 as my dog of the day.
Okay, your luck's gonna lose, Munaf, unfortunately, which is bad news for you. But you know, nothing much I can do about that. I've got double lock, unfortunately. I got Houston, Boston at under 9.5. I actually picked it at under 8.5. So I am delighted to be gifted another run Yeah, all the reasons Dylan spelled out. I think that'll go under 9.5. Hopefully Pivetta can hold it together. And for me, dog, let's go for the jackpot. Baltimore Orioles, +185. John Lyles capable of throwing in a good start. Baltimore's home record is okay. At some point, the Yankees are going to get beat, so let's make it tomorrow. I'll take Baltimore at +185. Is that Moonaf? Tell me some NBA stuff. Are the Utah Jazz still winning?
Well, why did you say my lock is going to lose tomorrow? I'm kind of...
Because I picked Cincinnati and the under.
Oh, okay. Well, that means you're going to lose. Sorry.
No, don't look so sad.
No, I'm just kidding. NBA, yeah, we have...
face there.
No, I thought I missed something in the handicap there, but I'm sure we'll talk about that offline. No, sorry, your Utah Jazz were probably the worst team in the postseason so far. Maybe after the Brooklyn Nets, but... yeah, we have conference finals starting off tonight. The Eastern Conference, Miami and Boston. We did the preview for that yesterday with myself, Scott, and Terrell. So if you haven't gotten to that, get to that. And then tomorrow we're doing the Western Conference finals preview and game one preview. That's on Wednesday. And we're going to have a special guest, Ariel Epstein, on that show with us. So she's going to be back on with me. Nice. So definitely look out for that one as well.
Dylan, you got anything going on?
No, just hopefully the Mets could win this game. They Paul Goldschmidt hit a home run, so it's 3-1, bottom eight, guy on first. But yeah, just going to sit back, probably have another Coors. You know, I'm a big Coors guy. Going to have a Coors and just sit back and wait for Champions League final in a couple of weeks.
Good times. Yeah, I'll direct you to keep your eyes peeled for my Preakness Stakes article, which will be out maybe Thursday or Friday, and then I'll be having a chat with Sean and Ryan. Hopefully we can get something over the line this time after the 72-1 long shot that took down the Kentucky Derby last
night. Malcolm, the Preakness is in Baltimore and I'm in Maryland right now, so it's only about 10 minutes down the road. I think I might go. Tickets aren't that expensive. I need a horse though.
Oh mate, I'll make sure that I pay for everybody's day out, then that's not a problem. thank you, everyone, for listening. Cheers, Dylan and Moonaf. Thank you very much. Usual place, like, rate, review. It all helps. Good luck with your MLB gambling. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll see you down the road. Cheers.